Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening in. Have a beautiful Sunday morning. We've had a lot of rain the last couple of days, been blessed with that. We've kind of needed it, and I think we're supposed to get some more later today, but it's really nice right now, a little early taste of springtime. We're thankful for the blessings that God gives us. Just really all over the place, not just the weather that we need, but our livelihoods, our food, our clothing, our health, everything that we have, of course, comes from Him, and we're thankful. And we're going to, this morning at Eastside, come together to worship and honor and thank Him for all that He is doing for us and has done for us. And we invite you to come and be with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. We'll be meeting at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be singing songs and praising our God and remembering our Savior who died for us and listening to a lesson from God's Word. So we'd love for you to be with us if you have an interest in worshiping God and praising Him this morning. We'll be social distancing and wearing masks and all that sort of thing, but honoring God is the main thing. So come and be with us, 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama this morning at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you. If you can't make that, you can catch the live streaming. We have a Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ, Athens, Alabama, on Facebook. You can check out the live streaming there or from our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Just click on the media tab and go to the live streaming. We'll also have live streaming tonight at 5, not meeting tonight in the building, but we'll have a live streaming lesson tonight at 5, and we encourage you to tune in for that as well. Well, we're living in an age where the truth is a rare commodity, isn't it? Seems like a lot of folks don't know what the truth is, not interested in what the truth is. We have an idea about truth that it's all relative, and I have my own truth, and you have your own truth, and they may be completely opposite, but we call them truth, both of us, and obviously that's not a very helpful concept or definition of what truth is. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23 and verse 23 to buy the truth and sell it not. Truth is a precious commodity, and as we're saying more and more today, it's a rare commodity, and the rarity of it makes it all the more valuable. God says, buy the truth and don't sell it. It's a commodity that you want to keep. You know, some people like to buy gold and some people like to buy this and that in order to have a good investments. The program that was on just previous to this one, I think, is talking some about that. But God wants us to buy the truth. It's a really rare and precious commodity. But as we've said, in our culture today, really hard to find truth. It's really hard to get to know what the truth is in virtually any aspect of life, not just political things and social things and historical things, but especially this morning, I'm talking about spiritual things, of course. Back in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, the prophet Isaiah, describing the people of his day, said that truth has fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. That's kind of how I feel about truth today. It's fallen in the street and it can't get up. There are very few who are speaking it. There are very few who are supporting it and helping it. There's a lot of stuff that's disguised as truth that is just blatant error, that's blatant falsehood. And I think probably most of us who are listening this morning are in agreement with all of that. We understand how precious truth is and how rare it's getting to be in our world. Something that's absolute truth is completely disregarded in our world today so many times. So it becomes important to us to get the truth, to love it, to see our need for it and how precious it is. And that leads us sort of to the question of the lesson this morning is, how can we tell the difference between truth and error? The question isn't just an academic one. It's a one that's vital to our soul salvation. It's vital to our spiritual well-being. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, lies and deceit and falsehood are bondage. It's slavery, so to speak, and that's one way the Bible talks about it. But by knowing the truth, we're set free from that. We're set free from sin, which is in essence a state of deception. Satan gets us to sin by deceiving us, right? And so that's not the truth. When we're following his ways, we're not walking in the truth. We need the truth to set us free. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul describes a situation that would come up apparently not long after he prophesied about it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 9. And it's an interesting description of some blatant error that a lot of people in the world would believe. He says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, talks about the coming of a lawless one who's working is according to Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So he's talking about somebody who's sent by Satan, and he lies, okay? In verse 10, it says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. They all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, when we don't do right, when we're finding pleasure in doing that which is wrong in the sight of God, we're not loving the truth. We're loving that which is the opposite of truth. We're loving the devil's lie. And if we don't believe and practice the truth, we're going to stand condemned in the final analysis. So you see, I hope, how very, very important it is to want to know the truth, to love the truth, to desire it, to buy it and not sell it, and to not allow ourselves to be deceived. Because if we don't believe the truth, if we believe the lie and we practice things that are unrighteousness, God's going to punish us, as this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 plainly states. So how can we learn what the truth is? That's the question. How can we tell the difference between truth and error, even in our world today, especially when it comes to spiritual things? Well, we learn the truth by exposure to it. We learn about a thing by experiencing it. Babies learn sweet from sour and hot from cold and wet from dry by experiencing these things. And that's how it is with us when it comes to the truth. The Lord uses this illustration, in fact, about children growing up and experiencing things and being able to tell the difference between things. The Lord uses this illustration to demonstrate how you can learn to distinguish between good and evil. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 15, he describes someone growing up who says about him, curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose the good. So you eat something that's a little bit sour, you eat something that's sweet, and you learn the difference between sweet and sour. And so in this world, if we can understand what the truth is, if we can get a good taste of the truth, then we'll understand that everything that's not that is error. Even so today, we learn spiritual truth by experiencing God's word, which is truth. Jesus said in praying to the Father in John 17 and verse 17, your word is truth. So the word of God is truth. We spent a good bit of time on last week's program showing the wonderful power and righteousness and truth of God's word. God's word is truth. Our use of God's word on a regular basis enables us to readily distinguish between truth and error. So the question comes, how often are you using God's word? How often are you experiencing? Do you have your nose in a Bible from time to time? Are you reading God's word? Are you listening to people expound God's truth in a correct and accurate way? Our use of God's word enables us to distinguish between truth and error. Hayden Robinson related a story that I think illustrates this point. He said that there was a Chinese boy years ago who wanted to learn about jade. Of course, jade is a precious stone, especially in the Far East. But this Chinese boy wanted to learn about jade, and he went to study it with a talented old teacher. So this elderly gentleman put a piece of stone into the youth's hand and told him to hold it tight. And then this teacher began to talk about philosophy and the sun and everything under the sun and trees and flowers and plants and animals and all sorts of different things, hour after hour. he would talk about this. And after a while, he took back the stone from the boy's hand and he sent him home. The boy went back to him and the same procedure was repeated. And it went on for weeks. The man would talk for about an hour with the boy holding the stone that was jade. And all he would do was talk to the boy as he held the stone. Well, the boy was becoming very frustrated with this as he was wanting to learn about jade. That's why he'd gone to this teacher, but he was too polite to interrupt his venerable teacher. Then one day, the old man put a stone into his hands that wasn't jade. And immediately the boy cried out, "That's not jade." The lesson is he had learned what jade was by experiencing it, by holding it in his hand. He came to know exactly what it was, and he could tell something wasn't jade just by holding it. That's a bit how the truth is. If we'll latch on to the truth, if we'll hold it, if we'll experience it, we don't have to have somebody tell us everything that's wrong in the world. If we know what's right in the world, if we know what that God's word is truth, as Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17, and if we know God's word and we experience God's word, then we'll know the truth and be able to reject stuff, anything that's not the truth. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 is writing to Christians who had not had enough experience with God's word to distinguish good from evil, truth from error. He writes to them and he says, this is Hebrews 5 and verse 12, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's a really fascinating passage to me. There are a couple of words that stand out. One of them is the word unskilled. You know, a baby is unskilled in eating steak, right? And a baby doesn't know anything about eating steak. So a baby's used to eating milk. It knows milk, but it doesn't know steak. A lot of folks are like babies when it comes to the truth. We know a little bit about it, but we don't know all there is to know about it. So one who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. The word unskilled means inexperienced. You haven't practiced with it. You don't know how to use it. You don't really even know what it is. You might think about trying to pick up some new sport that you've never played before, whether it's tennis or basketball or especially some skill sport that takes quite a bit of skill, golf. It's not something that anybody just, you just typically pick up a golf club or a tennis racket and learn how to play those sports. It takes a lot of practice. It takes some teaching, and it takes some experience to learn how to play well. That's how it is with truth. These people that the Hebrew writer is talking about were unskilled. They were inexperienced in the word. These Christians had not progressed and developed because they did not have enough experience in the word. And so as a result, they were like children who cannot discern the right from the left. They were spiritual babes who couldn't tell right from wrong. The second word in this passage that is really interesting to me is the word exercised. Remember, he said there are those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The word exercise there comes from a Greek word, gymnazo, and we get our word gymnasium out of that. Gymnasium, that's the place where you exercise. Well, these people hadn't exercised enough with the truth. Those who regularly use God's word have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The English Standard Version there says, those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. When we're trying to learn a new skill, as I mentioned, sports or some skill at work or how to operate some new program on our computer, whatever it might be, when we're trying to learn some new skill, it's practice that we need in doing that. And so this morning, I'm really wanting all of us to think about how much practice are we having with the Word of God? The Word of God is truth. And if we're not practicing using the Word of God, studying it and applying it, what do we really know about truth? And how will we ever be able to tell the difference between truth and error? So we have a world today that's just awash in error. There's so much ambivalence about the truth. People don't know what it is. People don't know if it is. God's word is truth. And no matter who you are this morning, a professing Christian, somebody who doesn't know if he believes in Christ or not, somebody who thinks, well, I'm not religious, whoever you may be, I want to tell you that God's word is truth, and the only way we'll ever know anything about the truth is to know God's word. And it will help us so much in this world to distinguish, not just in spiritual things, but many other things as well. It will help us to distinguish between truth and error. And do we ever need that in the world today? Why is it that some folks don't seem to be able to identify obvious error when they hear it? And again, our world is full of such people today. Why is it that some people can't identify obvious error when they hear it? Why are so many people bogged down in their spiritual lives by moral relativism and compromises with the world? We hear people talking about, well, that's your opinion, and I have my opinion, and God's supposed to accept all of that because it's all truth. No, it's not all truth. We need to be able to distinguish between what truth and error are. Can we not tell the difference between good and evil? Could the root problem be that we have no meaningful experience with the word of righteousness? Let's be honest with ourselves. We have people running all over the country and in every sphere of society spouting off their truth, which doesn't comport or match in any way the truth that is real and that is true, that is found in God's word. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. His word is truth. If we're going to walk the way that leads to life, we're going to walk a way that is truth. So we need to make effort to understand and know and experience the word of truth. You know, we make effort to do things that we love. The psalmist talks about how experiencing the word of God to him was enjoyable. In Psalm 119 and verse 103, he says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Here's exactly what the psalmist is saying. Your word is delicious to me. I don't know if you like honey, but I like honey. I like honey on, toast. I like it on a biscuit. I like it on other things to make them sweet. Honey is good. And I eat it because I like it. God's word is good. The psalmist says the word of God was sweet to his taste, sweeter than honey to his mouth. And so it was an enjoyable experience to experience truth. And when he experienced it, he got understanding and he was able to hate every false way, to identify things that were wrong and not fall in love with those things. What made the word of truth enjoyable to him? Well, the fact that it enabled him to know the difference between right and wrong, between truth and error. In Psalm 119 and verse 128, just a little later on, he says, "Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, and I hate every false way." This principle we find really throughout Scripture, that people who loved the Word of God were able to use it to tell the difference between truth and error. When you go over to the New Testament, you have the Apostle Paul going to the city of Berea, and he's preaching about Jesus Christ to some Jews who were there. And it says about them in Acts 17 and verse 11 that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The way those Bereans were telling the difference between truth and error were determining whether or not what Paul taught was truth. The way they were doing that was they were examining what he said in light of the Scriptures. They were examining the Scriptures to find out whether these things were so. And I'm telling you this morning, that's what we need to be doing, examining the Scriptures. I want to encourage you, and just take a moment here again to encourage you who are listening. If you feel that you don't know enough about God's Word, and that's probably most all of us, don't know enough about God's Word and need more experience with it, I'd encourage you to go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and there's a banner there. It's study the Bible at home, and just click on that and sign up for one of our free Bible correspondence courses, a correspondence course that you can take online or through the mail, And one of them is about Jesus and him being the way. It's a 7-lesson course. We have another course on the Gospel of Mark that takes you through the Gospel of Mark, verse by verse. I have another course on the book of Acts. And all of that knowledge is valuable knowledge from God concerning his truth. Get yourself into the Bible. Find a way to study the Bible on a regular basis. And here's what we're offering you. Again, go to the website, eastside-church.org, and sign up for that Bible correspondence course and get yourself into the Word of God. We'll never be able to tell the difference between truth and error until we get ourselves into the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." You realize that not everything you hear, even from religious people today, is the truth. Not everything you hear from preachers and teachers, not everybody who represents himself to be a Christian or claims to be telling you God's word is actually doing that. A lot of false prophets have gone out into the world. John writes about that problem in the epistle of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, he warns those to whom he writes, he says, "Let no one deceive you." You know, there are people out there trying to deceive you. In chapter 2 and verse 26, he says, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." John was not an alarmist, and neither am I, but I'm here to tell you that there are a lot of folks saying things about the Bible and claiming that those things are truth, and they're just not telling you the truth. It's amazing to me how many people believe so many things about Christ, about God, about his word that are not in the Bible, that, you know, people have just invented. They've been talked about. They've been repeated over the years. Stories from everything about the birth of Christ and onward, you have a lot of things that are just spread abroad that everybody believes that are not the truth. And a lot of those things impact our soul salvation. It's important that you have experience with the word of truth, that you take it upon yourself and own that responsibility to learn the truth, to learn God's word, so you can distinguish truth from error. John will write in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." What does he say? Many false prophets have gone out into the world. It's not like there's just one or two of them out there. There's bunches of them. If you look at this verse on the simplest level, he says, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." If you look at it, your starting place is the prohibition. Do not believe. Now, he's not saying do not believe the truth, right? But he's saying do not believe every spirit, because a lot of spirits are false. Here's an apostle of Christ, John, telling us not to do something. And what he's telling us not to do is don't believe every spirit. The contemporary English version there says, "Dear friends, don't believe everyone who claims to have the Spirit of God." I think that's a pretty good translation, a pretty good explanation of the meaning of 1 John 4 and verse 1. So let me illustrate this. If you ever watch religious television, you know, it's common for preachers to tell their audiences that they have the Holy Spirit, that the preacher does. You know, the preacher will talk about how he has the Holy Spirit, he's anointed, so on and so forth. Some preachers have even gone so far as to say that God personally appeared to them and told them to say and do certain things. When you hear that, you need to remember what the Apostle John said. The Apostle John was not some television preacher. The Apostle John was an authoritative apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who spoke for Christ himself, whose very words were indeed given by the Spirit. And the Apostle John in 1 John 4 and verse 1 says, "Do not believe every spirit." Consider what the Apostle John says. Do not believe all people who say they have the Spirit. This is a prohibition from an apostle. What we're learning here is that we cannot just accept anyone who claims they have the Spirit. We cannot just let our minds fall under the influence of any spirit. It may be the spirit of error. The only way to know, listen to this, the only way to know whether or not it is the spirit of truth or error is to test it by the word of God. That's the only way to know. On in that same context in 1 John chapter 4, John explains it in verse 5. He says, talking about false teachers and those who claim to have the spirit but don't, he says, they're of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. We, that he's talking about there, are the apostles. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We need to listen to what Jesus and his apostles said in his word. We need to know what it says. We need to experience it. And in that way, we can tell the difference between truth and error. You cannot believe everything you hear. Surely we realize this. In virtually any sphere of human activity or endeavor of knowledge, it doesn't matter if you're talking about politics. You think you can believe everything you hear in the realm of politics? Surely not, especially if you listen to this radio station. You know for sure that there's a lot that's put out there that's not true. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. Can you believe everything you're told in the realm of medicine? I don't know anybody that does. That's why we're having all this fussing and fighting during this pandemic. We don't know what to believe. Can you believe everything you hear in the realm of science? You know, science changes what science every other day. Can you believe everything you hear in the realm of history? Again, history seems to be, in the way it's told, an ever-evolving thing. People are changing it all the time. What was true when I was a child growing up in school is the opposite is true now, if you talk about much that happened in history. And of course, I'm using the word true there accommodatively. What's truth is truth. True history hasn't changed. True science hasn't changed. True medicine hasn't changed. Problem is, men have made a lot of errors and mistakes and said things that were true that were not true. That's the problem. You cannot trust your feelings in these matters. And that's where we are in the world today. Most people just trusting their feelings. It's God's word that determines truth. The word of God is inspired. It's authoritative. It's sufficient to govern all that we do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the Bible says. Instruction in righteousness. What is right? So what the Bible says is we're to test all things. Test everything. Don't just believe everything. Test everything. Test it by the word of God. Test all things and hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 21. Abstain from every form of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. We're to hold fast the faithful word as we have been taught. Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Well, I read a little story from an article entitled How to Test Jade If It's Real. And here were the instructions. It said, hold the stone in your hand. It should feel cold, smooth, and soap-like to the touch. It should take a while to get warm if it's real. This test is most helpful when you can compare it to real jade of a similar shape and size. I tell you what, testing the truth is like testing jade. My friends, may we this day resolve to hold God's word in our hearts, to study it, to meditate on it, to practice it, so that when we are given something else, we will be able to simply exclaim, that's not the truth. Psalm 119 and verse 1 and verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Let's choose the way of truth. Because it is only in the way of truth that we can walk the way that leads to life. Thank you. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama.